And as you're giving this morning, after you've given, open your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. All right. And verse 35. Hebrews 10, verse 35. So go there in your Bibles. When you get there, say amen, and I'll know you're there. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10. Amen. Are you there? All right. Somebody say, if you're there, say, I'm there. All right. So in your Bible, your devices, your electronic devices, whatever you utilize, we're going to go to the Word of God. Praise the name of Jesus. We've been teaching a series since the first of the year. We've been following the theme, Believe for More. How many of you are continuing to believe for more from God? Amen. Believe for more. And we've been teaching out of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, where the scripture says this. Let's look at it together. The Bible says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of patience or endurance, so that after, somebody say after you have done the will of God, you shall receive the promise. Everybody say this with me. Say, after I have done the will of God, I shall receive the promise. After we've done the will of God. And we've been talking about the will of God out of Thessalonians. The Bible says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He said, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. He said, quench not the Spirit of God. And so we've been talking about a number of things as far as the will of God. And last week, the last two Sundays, we talked about the spirit of serving, which is the will of God. And the more you serve as a servant of the Lord, all right, not a volunteer, because a volunteer can choose whether they want to do something or not, but a servant of the Lord has already chosen, I'm going to serve God, which means I'm going to do what the Bible tells me to do. Amen. So we're not volunteers, we're servants of the Most High God. And there's a spirit of serving. And the more you serve, the stronger the anointing of God is upon your life, because there's a spirit, an anointing on serving. There's an anointing on releasing the Spirit of God out of our lives. Well, today I want to talk about the 11th thing, all right, that's the will of God that we're dealing with. The 11th thing, so write this in your notes. So the will of God is to trust without fear. Somebody say, trust without fear. Now, we're adding that little phrase because instead of just talking about trust, we've got to learn how to trust without fear. Because many times in our lives, we think we're trusting, but for some reason, there's something hesitant inside of us. If there's something hesitant inside of us when we're endeavoring to trust, then fear is trying to enter in. And so to trust God without fear. Amen. Elbow your neighbor and say, the will of God is to trust without fear. So let's take a look at it a little bit. In other words, the scripture's giving the emphasis that there is no doubt allowed. I think every believer, here's a t-shirt for you, all right? Every believer, maybe we ought to wear a sign for the enemy to see that says, no doubt allowed. No doubt allowed in this heart. No doubt allowed in this mind. No doubt allowed in this life, because I'm going to trust the Lord. Amen. Now, the scripture says in Hebrews 2, verse 13, Hebrews 2, 13, the writer says, I will put my trust in him. I will put my trust in the Lord. There is a spirit of trust that comes to dwell and to live in our life. See, anything that has to do with the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit that God imparts to us by the Spirit of the Lord comes with an impact and an impartation of the power of God to do what the Spirit of the Lord wants us to do. And so when the Bible says we're to trust in the Lord, there's a spirit or an anointing of God that comes along with that command into our spirit man to help us do what God's asking us to do. So there's a spirit of trust. Now, if there's not a spirit of trust, there's a spirit of unbelief. Hello, somebody. Elbow your neighbor and say, no doubt allowed. Say, man, I want you to say it with all your might to your neighbor on the other side. Say, no doubt allowed. Amen. See, only a spirit of trust. So he said, I will put my trust in him. You see, him, Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, is the object of our trust. In order to trust, there's got to be something we trust in. Someone we trust in, all right? So he says, I will put my trust in him. Trust is the subject. It's a noun. Trusting is a verb, which becomes the action of our trust or the action of our faith. It's one thing to say, I trust God as a declaration, and it's good. We need to declare that. It's another thing to say, I am trusting God, because what's happened is our trust factor has moved from just a thought pattern to an action pattern and becomes energized by the Spirit of the Lord. So our conduct then begins to line up with what we're trusting or who we're trusting and what we're trusting him to do. There's a spirit of trust that comes to take over our lives. Amen. Now, notice something with me, because when we're born into this world, we're not born with a spirit of trust. We have to learn trust. A child learns to trust its mother and its father. And as it learns to trust its mother and father, it then begins, a child will grow and begin to develop trust in others. As the father, the parents, the father and mother are teaching that child trust. Are you with me? All right? But there is a spiritual trust. The moment you are born again, the Bible says, if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved. The moment you are born again, there is an impartation spiritually of trust from God that comes into your spirit man. So from that time on, as a believer, even as a baby believer, you begin to learn how to trust the Lord. You begin to learn to trust him by what he says in his word, that you can take the Bible at face value, and when God says something, you can trust it, because God is not a man that he should lie. And so to do the will of God so that we receive the promise is to have a spirit of trust and to act in that spirit of trust in relationship to the Lord. Now, let's walk this through a little bit. All right, trust. I want to define it because we need to understand it. It's not just a mental thing. Somebody say, trust is not a mental thing. See, trust involves your whole being. It involves your mind, will, and emotions. It involves your spirit man. Trust involves every part of us when we're committing to the Lord. So here we go. Write this down. Trust is to rely upon or to depend on. Amen. We've got to understand this dependence upon the Lord. We trust, we put our trust up on Him because He's the object of our trust. And we become dependent upon Him for everything. I mean everything. Elbow your neighbor and say everything. Now, here's another. Trust means confidence in. So we trust or we rely upon and we put confidence in. In other words, we firmly believe, we have assurance, and we have certainty in God. Trust is that I firmly believe. I've got strong confidence in the Lord. That's trust. Are you hearing this? Amen. Now, write this down. It is firm trust or firm belief in the reality of. So we've got reliance upon, we have confidence in, we have firm belief in the reality of the Almighty God. Now, of, that word of is really interesting because it means derived or to get from a source. So when we have confidence or belief in the reality of, we're talking about the source of our faith, or the source of our trust, or God Himself. Hallelujah. So in the reality of Him, are you with me? All right, smile if you're with me. In the reality of Him, which is the source of all we receive, are you getting this? There's a trust that says, because, Lord, I belong to You, and I'm Your child, and I'm Your servant, and You dwell in me, and I am walking with You. There's a reality of that relationship which is called trust. And so, Father, every part of my life, I will lean upon You, and I'll trust in You because You are my God. You are the source of everything I need, so You're the one that my reality will be in and of. Are you hearing this? Hallelujah. Now, write this down. Also, confident expectation of. Amen. Now, listen, as a believer, I don't have an expectation of my government to take care of me. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says. Bible says we're to pray for our government. We're to respect our government and so forth. But we don't put our full trust and reliance upon. Our confidence is of God. It's of God. The government didn't give me confidence. Your employer doesn't give you confidence. Come on, somebody. Your education doesn't give you confidence. Your confidence is in the fact that you're a child of the living God. Our confidence is of Him. Hallelujah. So in that, I can expect of God everything that He says in His Word. I can anticipate it and expect it to come to pass when I release it as a declaration from my own mouth and declare the victory of the Lord. Hallelujah. And you can expect the same thing. Amen. Expectation. Now, trust is also, let's go a little bit deeper. Trust is the fact of having placed confidence in. So we've done it. We didn't just think about it. Hello. We didn't just think about trusting God. We actually said, I am going to trust the Lord with my whole life. So trust is the fact of having placed confidence in God. So if your confidence is in the Lord, that's where your trust is. Amen. Now, write these bullets down. These are powerful bullets. This is the way the Spirit of God gave this to me as I was waiting and praying before the Lord. Write this down. All right, there must be something to hope in for there to be trust. There must be something to hope in for there to be trust. When a man and a woman get married, and they stand at the altar and they vow to one another, they are vowing in trust. You know what they're doing? They're putting hope in something so there can be a trust. One of us committing, the husband and wife or the couple are committing to each other and saying, I'm giving my life to you. You are part of my life. I found you. There you were, just a walking down the street, singing doo wah diddy diddy dum diddy doo.
I'm with you.
Hello. And they're committing to one another in trust. In other words, there's someone to put confidence in. Oh, hello, somebody. There's a trust. They're standing there. When my wife and I stood at the altar almost 45 years ago in Missoula, Montana, at Christian Life Center, which is now Christian Life Center. And we stood at that altar. I believe my dad did our ceremony, didn't he? Yeah. And he's in glory. But when we committed at that moment, we were putting our lives in each other's hands in trust. And I said to her, I'll take care of you. And I remember our vows back then. I said, I'll take care of you, whether we're sick, whether we're well, whether we're well off, or whether we're not so well off. Hello. And we committed into trust. But in order to do that, there had to be someone to commit to the trust. Amen. Had to be somebody. And so we became each other's somebody in that marriage trust. Now watch this with the Spirit of God. All right? There must be something or someone to hope in for there to be trust beyond ourselves. So when you receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you are putting into trust your life. You trust Him to take away your sin. You trust Him to cleanse your life. You trust Him to give you new life that He said will come and live inside of us. You trust Him to give you the Holy Spirit that'll be in you, a well springing up unto everlasting life. You trust Him to take care of you the rest of your life. You trust Him that there is a heaven now that He says you will gain. And that's not the motive of getting born again, but it's the bonus and the reward of serving God all of our lives. You trust Him for what He... Come on, somebody. So in that trust, you've said, I'm going to trust the Lord then for everything God says here. I'm going to trust God. Now, I can already tell I won't get through this whole thing today. But this is powerful. Now, write this down. So, trust is belief and hope and expectation. All right. Let's get this bullet down. Trust is a character response to the reliability of something or someone. It's a character response. It's not just a mental assent to something. All right, God, I trust you. All right? And God says, okay, let's see. See, that happened to Abraham when God said, take your only son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. And the moment he raised his knife to slay him on that altar of sacrifice, God stopped him and he said, now I know you trust me. Hello, somebody. He said, now I know. Why? Because of his action based on trust. There was a conduct change. There was an obedience factor that happened. Come on, somebody. And God said, now I know you trust me. Because trust is a character response to the reliability of something or someone. Abraham knew is God. Abraham knew that somehow, if he asked for his son Isaac as a sacrifice, that somehow God would do something in relation to the saving of that son, because he was to be the father of many nations through that son. Hello. But he had to trust God. Elbow your neighbor and say, trust God. Now listen to this. Trust is committing to the care of another. Trust. Committing to the care of another. Trust is putting something confidently into the charge of another. Trust. Write this down. Trust is to allow to do something without fear of the outcome. Trust. So when God says, I'm going to do this for you, trust says, okay, God, I'm going to believe you to do that, and I'm not going to fear or manipulate the outcome. Hello. Even if it's a little different than what I pictured it in my mind, but it's still God's answer. Because how many of you know we think way below what the way God thinks, and his answer is usually far above what we ever ask or think according to the power that works in us. According to the Bible. Amen. And so he's always going to work mightier than what we think. So trust is to allow him to do something without the fear of the outcome, but confidence in the Lord of the outcome. Here's another one. Trust is to give all, to relinquish everything, and believe the promises of Almighty God. Now listen real closely. There is a spirit of trust. I remember back when I was born again, I didn't know. I had no idea what it meant to trust God. I was raised in a pastor's home. I grew up, I cut my teeth on the church pew, literally. There's probably marks in that church where I grew up, still on that church. But I didn't know, just because I was raised in that atmosphere, I really didn't understand what it meant to trust God. I had a mental thought about it, but I had to learn by my own action of obedience of how to trust God. But I also knew, as I mentioned before, when I was born again, when you're born again, there's an impartation of the spirit of trust. I know today, all right, I know more about the spirit of trusting inside my inner man than I did when I was first a young believer. Because I've had to put that spirit into practice. The spirit of trust. That's why, see, the more you trust God, when the enemy comes to lie to you and say, God's not going to do it, God isn't going to hear your prayer, you can stand and face the enemy and say, listen, dude. My trust is in the Lord. There's a spirit, when the enemy tries to come against me and lie to me, there's a spirit that rises up, the Holy Spirit was inside of me, a spirit of trust that says, stop right there, right now, because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me, I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to listen to the lies of the devil. You can gossip to me all day long, devil, all that you want to say, but there is a spirit of anointing inside of me that has already deposited a spirit of trust, and I will trust the Lord. It doesn't matter if you get an evil report from the doctor. It doesn't matter what kind of thing that happens and the enemy attacks you with some kind of thought. Listen here, listen close. There is a spirit of the anointing of God that will rise up inside of you and say, I will trust the Lord. He hasn't failed me yet. He never will fail me. Come on, somebody. He'll always work on my behalf. I will trust the Lord. And that happens whether we see it in the natural at the moment or not. We will trust the Lord. There is a spirit working in our hearts, producing confidence and reliance upon God the Father at all times. He's always working. Things happen, and the first thing the Spirit of God will say is, trust me. The devil comes to kill and steal and destroy. The Spirit of God will say, just trust me. Just trust me, I'll work it out. Just trust me, you're going to win. You ever heard people in conversations say, I've heard this, and they say, now, they really want you to believe them, so they say, trust me, I know what I'm saying. Trust me. Why do we have to qualify our conversation with that kind of a word? I'm just curious. Because the trust of God is in us. And here, listen, I don't want anybody trusting me. I want them to trust the God in me. So it might be better to say it this way. Hey, trust the word of the Lord. And trust the Spirit of God that dwells in you as a child of God. And you will succeed. You will overcome. Come on, somebody. Amen. Psalm 112, verse 7, my heart is fixed, established, steadfast, trusting in the Lord. There's the action. Trusting in the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:10 says, we trust the living God. We expect, we have confidence. 2 Corinthians 3, 4, and 5 says, and we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. It's from Him. Did you know that Noah had to trust God? Let me wrap it up with a couple of illustrations from the Bible. Noah had to trust God. Because God came to him and made a covenant with him, and he said, I want you to build a boat. We're gonna call it an ark. Nobody knew what an ark was. Big old ark. And Noah had to trust God. He had to say, okay, all right, God, if that's what you said, I'll do it. I'm going to trust you. And he starts building this humongous boat. People were making fun of him. What do you think you're doing, Noah? You're crazy. And he said, I'm trusting God. Now you think about this. In that generation, he had to trust the Lord. And he trusted the Lord all the way to the animals coming on the ark, to when the doors were closed and the rains begin to come and people are beating on the door, let us in, because the floodwaters were coming. And the ark floated and then sat exactly where God wanted to put it. I mean, you know, he had to trust God. There was a trusting. How about Joshua? The Lord tells Joshua to march around Jericho 7 days with all the children of Israel. March around Jericho. Okay. And on the seventh day, he was to march around seven times. How many of you know that takes a little bit of trust? Yeah, to trust. So on the seventh day and the seventh time around, they blow the trumpets. They shout the victory of the Lord, and the walls are pushed into the ground. He had to trust God. Because here he is leading people around some walls. And some of them were probably saying, oh man, we got to get up and do this again today. Can you imagine on the seventh day, on about the sixth time around, some of them are going, come on, Moses or Joshua, give up. Just give up. We walked enough. And they kept on going. He had to trust God. Let me just give you one more thought here. The disciples are in the boat. They're out fishing. And in Matthew chapter 14, the Bible says, Jesus comes walking to them on the water. He comes walking to them on the water. And when they discover it's Jesus, and Peter says, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. Now, think about this for just a moment. There's waves. We know that because the Bible says when he looked at the waves, he began to sink after he was on the water. But think about this for just a moment. Jesus says to him, okay, come. I mean, Peter had to observe something ahead of that before he even stepped out of the boat. You know what he observed? He had observed Jesus doing miracle after miracle after miracle. He had observed Jesus' word being filled with power in everything that Jesus did. And something stirred up inside of him at that moment and said, hey, tell me to come out there. And Jesus said, come on. And something inside of Peter said, all right, I'm going. Do you know what it was? It was trust. It was trust. In other words, he was trusting Jesus. That when he stepped out of the boat, he would walk to Jesus and meet him out on the water. Somebody say, trust. He had to throw aside every natural thought and everything in natural life that would hinder him from doing something that was out of the ordinary. Because typically, gravity would have pulled him under immediately when he stepped off the boat. Something inside of him had to say, listen, there's a greater one out there who's calling you to himself. And if you'll step out and trust him, there'll be a miracle. Peter had to step out. There was a confidence in the object of faith. Jesus. Now, I want you to hear this morning. Because many of us, as believers, will start out trusting God for our salvation. But a couple years go by, for some reason, our confidence factor starts dwindling away. Our trust factor isn't as strong as it was. Because now, you know, now the enemy's attacking. Now the devil's running after us. Now he's trying to destroy us. He's trying to come and pull us down and tear us back into the life that we were in before. And Jesus is saying, wait. No, don't stop trusting. Keep on trusting. I want to ask you a question this morning. I want you to close your eyes with me and just worship the Lord. I want you to think in an area of your life right now that perhaps at one time you trusted the Lord without doubt, without fear, without anxiety, without anything. But for some reason, in that area of your life now, there seems to be hesitation and wonderment and supposition instead of confidence and expectation. How many of you have something like that somewhere? Lift your hand up high. You know why? Because the enemy wants to steal your faith. He wants to conquer your faith. But there's a spirit of trust. There's a spirit of trust. If you trusted him for your salvation, you can trust him for everything else. Stand with me all over the house and lift your hands up to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we trust you. We trust you. Just start praying. Just start praying to the Lord. Tell him, Father, I trust you. I trust you. And I not only trust you, I am trusting in an action of my faith, in the discipline of my life, in my conduct. I am trusting you.